This is Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, July 31st, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling in for Joe Bilecki. In local and state news, the Ottawa County Elections Team is hosting a virtual Election Eve briefing and live Q&A Monday, addressing security concerns and preparing voters for Tuesday's primary election. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more.
During Monday's Zoom briefing, attendees can ask questions directly to Election Supervisor Katie Bard and Ottawa County Clerk Justin Robach.
People are asking very legitimate questions about the integrity of their election process, and that's really important for us to be transparent as election officials and say, here's what we are doing. Here are the myriad ways that we have checks and balances in place.
They'll also educate voters on what to expect on Election Day, absentee ballot return options, and how unofficial results are reported.
Ultimately, confidence isn't something I can just ask and expect our voters to have. We want to instill that confidence by knowledge, right? By explaining that process and having a dialogue and a conversation about what that looks like and making sure that our voters can feel comfortable with their knowledge of the process and their trust in the integrity of our elections.
Pre-registration is required for the live briefing held Monday, August 3rd from noon to 1 via Zoom. Recording will be available afterward. More information can be found on the Ottawa County Clerk webpage. I'm Dee Morrison.
Every 16 years, the question of a constitutional convention appears on the Michigan ballot. Yesterday in Grand Rapids, an alliance of organizations kicked off a statewide tour encouraging voters to vote no on Proposal 1. WGVU's Patrick Center was there.
Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce hosted education, environmental, labor, and real estate leaders forming a bipartisan coalition called Protect My Constitution from Special Interests.
So many different people from groups who would normally not agree on anything, they all agree on this. We should vote no on the Constitutional Convention.
John Selleck is spokesperson for Protect My Constitution. He explains a multitude of concerns, including current rights being reduced or removed, and new ones that don't currently exist could be inserted. It's the process of seating delegates and outside influence that's concerning.
There are no rules around this. It is literally the Wild Wild West.
Kelly Saunders is with the Small Business Association of Michigan, representing 33,000 members across the state. She says a constitutional convention creates a shadow government.
This body that would be elected delegate-wise gets to set their own rules. So there's no campaign finance requirements on who can give money to these people that make decisions on how our constitution would be shaped. And that provides a lot of uncertainty for small business owners and as they make plans on how to grow their business.
Saunders says upended rules and regulations and a constitutional rewrite can lead to small businesses pulling back and out-of-state businesses looking elsewhere for expansion. Protect My Constitution estimates a con could cost taxpayers $80 million. I'm Patrick Center.
The state is now suing a Southeast Michigan nursing home operator over alleged staffing shortages. Colin Jackson reports officials are using a Medicaid fraud law to do it.
The lawsuit contends on most days over the past 5 years, Pioneer Healthcare Management didn't meet required staff-to-patient ratios. But Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel says the company still turned in Medicaid reimbursement forms that claimed otherwise.
And so when they say, yes, we have adequate staffing, yes, we can manage the needs of an additional resident or two or three or five or how many, you know, That is the underlying fraud.
Nessel says using the Michigan Medicaid False Claim Act in this way is a new attempt to hold healthcare facility operators accountable. Attempts to reach the company were unsuccessful. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Planned Parenthood of Michigan is permanently closing women's health clinics in Lansing, Livonia, and Warren as it struggles with funding challenges. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Planned Parenthood says its finances took a big hit from cuts in federal family planning funds and growing losses from uncompensated and undercompensated care. Last year, Planned Parenthood locations in Jackson, Petoskey, and Marquette were closed. None of the locations offered abortion procedures, but did provide medication abortions, as well as birth control, pregnancy testing, and STD tests and treatment. In May, Planned Parenthood asked Governor Gretchen Whitmer for a $5 million emergency appropriation to avert cutbacks. Whitmer is an avid supporter of reproductive rights, but said she does not have unilateral power to provide funds without legislative approval. I'm Rick Pluta in Lansing.
And some Democrats are making this week's anniversary of Medicaid becoming law by blasting federal moves they say will force thousands of Michiganders off the program. The Trump administration enacted stricter work requirements for recipients and made other changes they say will help fight fraud. But Michigan Congresswoman Debbie Dingell argues the Trump administration is hurting the state's most vulnerable people, especially those relying on nursing home and private home health care.
All of these are being erroneously attacked for what this administration wants to call waste, fraud, and abuse. I do not call taking care of our seniors waste or fraud. I do call it not taking care of them abuse.
The Trump administration is also ending prescription drug subsidies covered under Medicare Part D. Federal officials have created a website showcasing discounted medication. And that is local and state news here on Focus West Michigan from WGVU. Spider-Man Brand New Day is in theaters, starring Tom Holland as the Marvel Comics superhero. The movie has critical acclaim and could be the biggest opening weekend of the year. Olivia Wilde is back in the edgy, erotic film I Want Your Sex. Plus, The Odyssey has been extended in 70mm IMAX screenings as well. WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Righetti from Studio C talk about the week in movies.
All right, Zach, we've got Spider-Man Brand New Day in theaters with Tom Holland returning as Spider-Man. I know you saw the film. What was your reaction?
Yeah, Scott, it was absolutely incredible. I think, you know, this is the fourth Tom Holland Spider-Man movie, which it's the first Spider-Man franchise character movie or whatever to have four movies. You know, Tobey Maguire only got three, Andrew Garfield got two. So, yeah, this is kind of like a fun new little aspect of Spider-Man. But, yeah, Brand New Day, it's based on the 2008 comic of the same name. Sony and sort of Marvel and Kevin Feige, you know, talk about how they wanted to make this movie and give sort of Spider-Man and Tom Holland this sort of like, quote, proper Spider-Man, you know, end quote era of he's on his own. He's just fighting street level crime in New York City. And, you know, this one ties directly into the last one. It's the first, you know, again, these four Spider-Man films are tied directly into the MCU. So we are taking steps towards, you know, Doomsday later this year, you know, as because this is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But this takes place 4 years after No Way Home, which, you know, to just remind everybody, the way No Way Home ends is everyone needs to basically forget that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And in order to do that, everybody basically has to forget about Peter Parker. And so Doctor Strange, you know, issues a whole thing. And that includes Ned and MJ, who are Peter Parker's like best friends. And so he is now like living on his own. He's in New York and he's also watching his friends like go to MIT like they all dream together and, you know, go through college, get their degrees while he's just out there busting crime left and right. But also like still, you know, has feelings, still loves MJ, but not, you know, being able to sort of figure out how he wants to approach her. And he's, you know, at the end of No Way Home, he had a whole script written to tell her, you know, basically the whole thing that happened, you know, why she doesn't know him and all that stuff. And so, yeah, he's sort of like fighting this inner monologue and also, you know, these external, you know, crime members out on the street. We get some cool like cameos back, like Scorpion, who was introduced in the first Spider-Man movie, but like left alone until now, so he's back. But Destin Daniel Cretton directed this movie. He directed Shang-Chi, and like that movie for me was a 10 out of 10. Like I really enjoyed that one. It was one of the ones that came after Endgame and was like a really refreshing Marvel movie. And then
that was critically acclaimed. It didn't really financially make the money they wanted it to. It was in a part of a series of movies that actually were not financially successful, and most of them also were not successful for a lot of the fans or critics, but Shang-Chi was actually very much well-respected critically.
Yeah, and like the MCU has had a really rocky path and road since Endgame, and Kevin Feige even said, I think it was last year, like they just straight up realized that they were putting out quantity instead of quality, and so that's why they've pulled back. Like they were putting out 2 to 3 shows a year plus 2 to 3 movies a year, and they were just kind of pumping the content out on screen. And I think they realized that audiences want to have a good superhero movie. Like, we don't just want to have the same thing cut and paste over and over and over again with just different superheroes. Like, we want to have something that's meaningful, that, you know, tugs on the heartstrings, you know, makes you gasp, makes you laugh. And I mean, that's what people, I think, love about Tom Holland's Spider-Man. What they've loved about the previous three films. And I think what they love about this one, due to the fact that it ties into the last one as well, is, yeah, I mean, it sucks. Like, he's by himself. He's alone. He's watching his friends that he knows, but they don't know him, like, go through life and just has to sort of be on the sidelines. Meanwhile, like, dealing with all of the superhero stuff of, like, you know, the fatigue that comes with that. So, yeah, I think, you know, this is just one of those movies that it could potentially be the biggest opening movie of the year if it does well this weekend. But, yeah, I mean, it's super fun. I really enjoyed it. And, I, you know, a lot of people are coming out, obviously, now that it's out. You know, spoilers are, you know, going to be everywhere. But there's really a whole bunch of movie that's not talked about in the trailers. And I think that's, you know, another exciting part about it.
And I know that you're a big Marvel fan. And in terms of the Spider-Mans, you know, going back to the Sam Raimi films with Tobey Maguire and then the Andrew Garfield films, which are kind of placeholders in a way. Where do you put Tom Holland in terms of Spider-Man?
Yeah, well, what a great cue. Because I think there's some fun aspects to it, right? Like, I think Tobey Maguire was a really good Spider-Man, and also a really good Peter Parker, but, like, probably better Peter Parker than Spider-Man, versus Andrew Garfield probably being a better Spider-Man than a Peter Parker. And I think Tom sort of really meets both of them right where they're at, due to the fact that I think, you know, he was younger when he started, and we've sort of grown up with him through there. We wouldn't be here or have the Marvel Cinematic Universe if it wasn't for Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire's Spider-Mans. And so I have to put those ones first, but Tom Holland is definitely right up there second with me.
Now, one thing that I read this morning was online, and it was a remark from Frank Miller. Frank Miller is a writer for he's done both DC and Marvel Comics. He is really known for what he did with Batman back in the 1980s. And he is thanked in the credits of this film. And he says that one of the great things about this Spider-Man movie is that it brings very much a Steve Ditko sensibility to the movie. And if you're a Spider-Man fan from reading the comics way back when, Steve Ditko was the first artist that worked with Stan Lee with the first, I don't know, I can't remember how many years, but say like the first 3, 4, 5 years of Spider-Man, Steve Ditko was really the architect of the image of Spider-Man. He was the one, Stan Lee was the writer, he was the visual artist, and there's a certain sensibility to Steve Ditko's art that anybody that's drawn Spider-Man since then has not really... It stands alone. Let me put it that way. Just stands alone. He's very quirky, eccentric type artist. And the fact that Frank Miller has come out and said that there's a Steve Ditko sensibility to this movie is very promising for me as a Spider-Man fan going back to the 1960s. So very much interested in checking this movie out.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I remember with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah. So we also have a new erotic film called I Want Your Sex. It's directed by Greg Araki, who is famous for the Teenage Apocalypse trilogy in the 1990s. The Doom Generation was the big film of that trio. And this is a new film starring Olivia Wilde, who, of course, has her own film in theaters, her directorial film. So what do you know about I Want Your Sex?
Yeah, it's 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, sort of this erotic thriller starring also Cooper Hoffman, who is sort of, you know, just this guy who is in this relationship with his girlfriend, but not really, like, I don't know, finding just anything in there. It's just they're struggling. He's sort of soul searching, and then sort of gets this job with Olivia Wilde's character, who owns like an art gallery. And they, of course, engage in sort of like, you know, an intimate relationship. And but there is sort of this like weird thriller, maybe potentially more murder mystery, like strung also through this. So it's going to be like, it's going to be weird. It's going to be wild, but like, it'll be probably, you know, just an interesting time all throughout. And again, critics love it. So, yeah, you know, maybe it's for you.
All right. And so we also have news that you guys are extending the IMAX 70 millimeter screenings of The Odyssey into September. Is that correct?
That is correct. We just yesterday put tickets on sale from August 21st through September 16th. So we're running way more shows. We're on a 9-week run right now. Oppenheimer played for 7 weeks. So just having the ability and to extend it even more is really exciting. We're really excited about it. I mean, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to provide, you know, this format. Yesterday we celebrated, it was Christopher Nolan's birthday yesterday. So, you know, like super fun to be able to put those tickets on sale on his birthday. But yeah, I mean, this is the format that, you know, as Christopher Nolan intended, if you will, but it's shot entirely on IMAX 70 millimeter. So there's no better place to see it. And we've had people driving from all over across the country. We have a map in the gallery. I think I've mentioned it before, but we have every single state except for Alaska. So if anyone from Alaska wants to come and see, we are just missing one pin for Alaska on our map, but then we'll have all states.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
Scott Vander Werf with Zach Righetti from Studio C on this week's movie releases. And that is all for Focus West Michigan for Friday, July 31st, 2026, and the week. I'm Rick Bierling. Patrick Center is WGVU's News and Public Affairs Director. Joe Bilecki is back next week. Thanks for listening.